Blog Talk Radio.
Survivor to another restoration, and good morning. It is Monday morning, August 21st, 2017, 7 o'clock in the morning. And Calgary, Alberta, just having a coffee, waking up, trying to wake up here. I've been up for quite a while, actually, but I didn't sleep well last night. So just try to bear with me here. And this is just a morning reflection, really, just sort of like, so I'll stay on my healing journey and work through things that I'm still working on. You know, I've come a long, long way since I started, but you know, I'm still working on some things and like to keep going, so this is why I do this show. So you have to listen at your own discretion. You know, I'm talking about abuse, very sensitive material. You know, if you're a survivor and you're just starting out on your healing journey, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening, because you never know. Things like, you know, any kind of material like this about abuse or, you know, somebody else's story, anything like this can be very triggering, so you have to make sure that you're safe enough to be listening. It's not going to trigger you, and then you have a miserable day. You possibly hurt yourself or somebody else, right? So you get that information if you're not sure, if you're safe enough really to be listening to this or anything like this. So you can get that several places. But I think the best thing I've ever seen was at the Survivor to Thriver workbook. It's a Survivor to Thriver manual on ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Morris Center program. They have a free manual you can get right off their website. You can either read it from the site, or you can download it or whatever, but it's free. And there's like a 60-something pages long safety first chapter, which I read a long, long time ago, and I'm glad that I got that information because it was really helpful. So you can get that for free there, or Havoka has safety first information. Lots of places do. Just make sure you're safe enough to be listening. If you're not, turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings. And anybody else, you know, you have to listen at your own discretion. I say this on all my shows because it's really important. You know, ultimately it's your decision to listen, so you have to make the right choice for yourself. And you know, because the topics of abuse are very sensitive. So if you think the show might bother you, just turn it off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. And we'll get right into it. This is a morning reflection. How am I doing this morning? You know, take a deep breath. I'm just waking up here, so I haven't really had too much time to think about it. I'm busy working on some of my studies as well, biblical studies and stuff, so in prayer and stuff this morning, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to think about it, but I'm actually doing pretty good. I just haven't really been sleeping all that well. Had some sort of health issues going on with nerve pain and nerve damage in my face and stuff. And, so I just sort of been a little bit overtired lately, and I think that's where I'm at. I'm just not even really kind of working on stuff right now. It's like my workbooks and stuff, because I haven't really been able to focus on them. So I want to get back to that eventually, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, start working on my workbooks again. But how am I doing? I didn't have any real flashbacks or anything, problems with that this weekend. This weekend was good, just kind of quiet, and just took it easy, basically, so that's what I needed to do. And I feel pretty good. I don't feel agitated or, you know, too horrible this morning. Actually feeling pretty good. And this is the kind of stuff I can ask myself sort of every day. I usually do sort of check in and see where I'm at, what I need to work on. You know, if I've been triggered by something, then I can work on that. And, you know, or if something just seems to be eating at me, then I can work on those issues, whatever it is. Because this stuff is horrible, you know? I mean, surviving abuse, this is not funny. And, I mean, I really wouldn't wish this on anybody, you know? Like, it's a terrible situation to have to deal with, you know, trying to work on being and living, you know, this healthy adult life after coming from a lifetime of abuse through my growing through my very formidable years, which this is what we're dealing with, right? So that's why I do this show, really, just to keep me on focus and working through stuff instead of just stuffing it or putting it away. And so it's very, very difficult. But I know some days are better than others. I haven't had too many problems with depression or anything lately. But I am tired, and that tends to make me feel a little bit more down than usual, just because I'm really tired and sort of some physical ailments that are bothering me. So, you know, that sort of stuff can kind of bother me. You know, it's not necessarily flashbacks, just the knowledge that the abuse caused some physical damage as well as just the psychological, emotional damage. So I'm sort of working on, you know, staying bolstered up and, you know, allowing myself to feel the feelings, acknowledging the feelings instead of stuffing it or trying to run from it or trying to hide from those feelings and put them away somewhere. Just allow myself to feel them. It's difficult to find time to do that sometimes. And this weekend actually did take some time to actually just relax and just be, not put too much pressure on myself to do anything, and just basically a rest weekend. So I think that was very helpful. So this week hopefully will be a good week. I'm working all week, so I'm really busy. So, you know, and with life, right? We all have to do this life, right? So it's difficult. So it's good to find time and make time for this stuff. It's hard to do for most people, I know. So this is kind of where I'm at today. Just feeling a little bit tired, and but I think things are going all right. I'm not really struggling in any area too badly. So hopefully you're not either. So we'll get right into this. We're looking at HAVOCA. This is a help for adult victims of child abuse. HAVOCA, information for survivors. I've got this in the chat room. So if anybody's there, we can check that link out. This is the next section of their anger material. And it's the cost of anger. That's HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, help for adult victims of child abuse, information for survivors tab. Go to the anger section, and then there's this cost of anger section. So I'm just reading right from their site here. It says, back in the 1700s, there was a British physician called John Hunter, and he had a very bad temper and not surprisingly suffered from angina pectoris. He used to say, quote unquote, "My life is at the mercy of any scoundrel who chooses to put me in a passion." And this was prophetic. At a meeting of the board of St. George's Hospital, he became involved in a heated argument, walked out, and dropped dead. Terrible. That's terrible. So health, relationships, liberty, and self-esteem. Most people are aware that ongoing anger can eventually lead to a number of physical illnesses, notably heart disease. This is a big issue. This is one where, I mean, I've seen this in my own life because my mother had major heart disease and heart, like, failure, heart disease, and it's kind of what took her out. But she had so much anger. Oh, my God, my mother. My mother was my main abuser. So when I think of her anger, I think of the beatings that I suffered from her, just the horrificness of her rage, you know. I was always concerned that she was going to die from becoming too angry, you know. And my dad was the main culprit, really, because he was abusing her. And so she was angry about everything, just angry about her life, angry about being abused herself as a child, and then had to deal with this husband that she wouldn't leave him. Like I said, she was just chained down in her mind and in her spirit, you know. Like, she wasn't chained. He didn't have her chained up. She could have left at any time. But he had her chained. She thought she couldn't do anything else, go anywhere else. You know, what was she going to do? And then she had all these kids that she didn't want, you know. She made it very clear. So it was kind of like, I think back about the anger that I witnessed in my home between my parents especially. And I think, you know, that stuff is deadly. Anger kills. It really does. If it doesn't kill the person who's angry, then the person who's angry can kill somebody else around them. Anger is really bad news if it's not used properly. If it's used as a weapon, it's very, very damaging. And it's damaging to the person, too. Like, I notice that because I have kind of like heart disease issues, too. And I've got like heart problems. I've got all kinds of weird little problems going on. But a lot of it probably is to do with the fight or flight response stuff that I had to deal with growing up, you know, just always in a state of fight or flight, just from the adrenaline, from watching my parents fight, from hearing them screaming at each other, my dad, you know, beating up my mother at night and trying to rape her, which was a steady thing in our home, and then him beating up my brothers for trying to save my mother, and then actually becoming part of that when I got older, trying to save my mother from my dad, you know, taking beatings from my dad, you know, for that, just trying to stick up for my mom. Even though my mom was my main abuser, I just thought it was the right thing to do. And then, you know, just her anger and rage, you know, it was absolutely a horrific way to grow up. And I mean, it did have a huge effect on me, absolutely, in every area, you know, physically, emotionally, psychologically. And this stuff, anger, if it's not used properly, is really, really deadly. Obviously, we know this. But I like that they're bringing this topic. They're actually even discussing it. So they said here, it also has other and more immediate, much more immediate unpleasant effects, anger. It consumes huge amounts of mental and physical energy, takes from our enjoyment of life, interferes with constructive and useful thinking, threatens our relationships and career prospects, undermines our self-esteem, and in extremes can so obsess us that it crowds out most other thoughts from our minds. Anger makes you the victim. That's what they said here. That's interesting. And I mean, it's true. I mean, anger, I had to get a hold of my anger because otherwise I was never going to be able to keep a job as an adult, as a young adult. I was never going to be able to keep a job, never going to be able to stay out, you know, of jail or stay out of the prison system because I had so much anger and rage that I just carried with me that I didn't want to hurt other people, but I definitely was going to protect myself once I got away from my abuser parents, especially when I got older. And anger was a real problem for me because I had been shown how to behave horribly. So then I just behaved that way too. I was just basically taking on, especially my mother's way of dealing with things. And that which was to be the one who's going to make sure that whatever I said goes, right? So in any situation, whether it's a work situation or, you know, friendships, relationships of any type, horrible. Absolutely. You know, and then, you know, who loses in the end? Everybody, right? So, you know, it's important to get a hold of this stuff. I like angerresources.com. They have a huge website. And you can do the anger test, self-anger test. Find out where your anger is and how you feel about anger. And then they go on to talk about it. It's angerresources.com. And it's Dave Decker and Michael Obsatz. They put together this website with all kinds of information on there. And I did show topics on that for months. And because I really was looking through it for myself, you know. And anger is important, and it's necessary for us to be able to use anger rightly in a right way is the right thing to do. Because we are allowed to get angry. It's very important to be able to get angry. But we need to learn how to use it properly so that it doesn't become a hurtful thing. That it actually helps things out instead of hurts things, you know. So, or instead of makes things worse, right? So anger makes you the victim. And I think that's very true. Excuse me. I mean, it can, especially as an adult, right? I mean, my mother, I mean, her anger didn't make her the victim. She was already the victim, right? But her anger towards me and the abuse that she dished out on me made me the victim. Which is, you know, thank God I'm a survivor, hallelujah. But the thing is, I mean, I just think about those vicious beatings, and I'm like, how could you do that? I was thinking about that this weekend, because I'm 51 and a half this December. I'll be turning 52. And my mother, when I was 13, was 51, and she was 38 years older than me. So when I was 13 and a half, my mom was 52, roughly. My age right now, and I think about it because I think about this beating that she almost killed me with, this rolling pin. It wasn't like a regular rolling pin. I think that would have done the job, but it was this heavy-duty rolling pin that her dad, my grandfather, I'd never met him, had made for her, this beautiful homemade rolling pin, and he had made this thing years, I mean, way back in the old days, man. We're talking the old days because my grandfather was dead before I was even born, so. We're talking, he probably made it for her in the 20s or something, 30s, when she was born or when she was just young, right? So he made this thing for her, and she beat me with it, and it, like, literally cracked my skull and really hurt me incredibly bad. But anyway, the issue is I sat there and think about that. She was my age when she did that, right? She was exactly the age that I am right now. And I think, how could you do that to your daughter who loves you? You know, how could you do that? There's other ways of handling things. You don't have to do these things, right? She didn't have to do that. She just chose to do that. And she hurt. Like, she literally, I mean, I'm not going to go into too many details here. If you want to read it, if you want to check that out, it's on my Born in Hell website. I have all that stuff there. But, excuse me, my voice is horrible this morning. The issue is, you know, there's other ways to handle things. That was totally unnecessary, and she did not have to use her anger to almost kill me, right? And but this is how she did. This is how they were. This is how my parents were. So then I grew up with this bottled up anger because I wasn't allowed to express anything, any feelings whatsoever in my home. If I had a if I expressed any feelings, I'd be beaten, literally, or screamed at, things thrown at me. Like, I wasn't allowed to cry. I wasn't allowed to express any feelings. I just had to keep a smile on my face, because as long as I stayed out of trouble, stayed out of the way, and kept a smile on my face, then I was kind of less of a target for my mother abuse, especially. And my dad's somewhat, but my mother was my main abuser, so it's horrible. And so, yeah, then I'd take this stuff out with me out on the street, and I'm thinking, you know, nobody out here is going to be able to have that kind of control on me. I'm going to be the one who's going to make sure that doesn't happen out here on the street or in school or wherever I'm at, away from my home. So I kind of became the bully. This is what happened to my mother. Right? She was basically turning me into herself, right? And that's what my dad was doing too. They were both were trying to really. That's what they did to all their children: turn them into themselves. It's horrific what this stuff does, you know. And I had to like get a hold of it. So like when I got older, I thought, you know, I can't behave like that anymore, because I want to be able to keep a job, and I don't want to go to jail, and I really don't want to hurt people, right? It wasn't my goal in life to hurt people, and I don't think it was my parents' goal either. They just did not at all do the right things by their children or each other. And that's just wrong. And that's why I speak out against this stuff. I mean, this is absolutely horrific. So they said here, after an angry exchange, you can be affected for hours or even days as you endlessly go over the event in your mind, churning up the anger, feelings, and adding to them, right? And during this period, your mood is being ruled by the memory of the person you were angry with and not by you. So you're the victim of the event. So when you allow someone else's behavior to make you angry, you are indeed the victim. They are likely to go off and forget about it. So you are being controlled by them without their even knowing about it. As you fume and fret and relive the event for days or months afterwards, while trying to enjoy yourself with friends or family, while relaxing on the beach, or while trying to sleep at night. So that's just interesting. I pull it back to the abuse that I suffered, and this is because this is what I'm doing. But I mean, that's very interesting, because it's very true. This is kind of where it comes from. This is where my healing journey sort of started, was back in 2007. I was contemplating suicidal ideation, and because I couldn't take it anymore. I just got to the lowest, I would say the very lowest point of my life at the age of 41 and a half. And, you know, I was just sitting around. I thought, why would I, you know, I've been thinking, contemplating suicide my whole life, right? Actually, since about, I would say my early teens, like young teens, was just didn't care if I was alive anymore or dead, whatever. I wished for death when I was 10, probably before that because of the CSA child sexual abuse. But I realized at 10 that I was dead, and I actually told my mother to go ahead and kill me because of a beating that she had dished out. Broke my face, broke my nose, trashed my lips, and, you know, really just did a lot of facial damage, and I was just losing a lot of blood. And then she came back for round two with a belt and beat me some more, and I just was like, just kill me. You've already killed me. You know, I'm just dead anyway, like whatever. So at the age of 10, I was already wanting to be dead. I was so tired. Right? And so I kept that with me, really, my whole life, and had contemplated suicide and was actually planning my suicides for my whole life, really, till the age of 41 and a half. When I hit very rock bottom and decided that I was actually going to follow through with it, couldn't take anymore. And the issue is here's where it came down to, was where this part of this article where it says, they're likely to go off and forget about it while you sit there and, you know, fume and fret and relive it for days and months afterwards. This is exactly what it was. When I was sitting on the couch and I was contemplating suicide, I thought, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for me or is it for my abusers? What is the purpose of all of this? You know, I got to either get off the pot or just follow through with it, because I was tired of doing the same old thing all the time. And I realized that I came to a point where I couldn't go on any longer doing the same thing, right? And so I just realized that my abusers didn't care what they did to me. My mother, my dad, my brother. Nobody cared. They weren't losing any sleep over it. They were dead mainly. But my dad was still alive. And he didn't care. He didn't care what he did to his wife, and he didn't care what he did to his children. He just didn't care at all. And my mother, she would have never cared. She used to just play the victim herself, and so you were not allowed to have any feelings. Only she was allowed to have feelings. She was only the only one allowed to cry and feel bad and hurt and moan and sob because of her horrible life, but you were not, right? And so, you know, I know that she did not really, really feel bad about what she did, even though I saw her the day before she died. I was there with my family, and we were with her the day before she went into a coma and passed away. But, you know, she didn't apologize. She never apologized for any of it. I hadn't seen her for a year, and just before she died, and I saw her for 3 hours before she died. I guess. Not even 3 hours, probably maybe an hour and a half or something spent with her just before she passed away. Total, like half an hour here, half an hour there. And she was dying, and she knew she was going, and, you know, she just kept repeating the same thing to me, you know, which I loved my mother very much, so this just broke my heart, but it wasn't an apology. My mother was very much mentally ill and psychologically ill and also narcissistic. She was just, she said the same thing over and over was, I was just a horrible mother. That's what she kept saying. And she was holding my hand, rubbing my hand with her finger, and, you know, that was nice because she never used to do that. You know, she never touched me in a loving way or anything. She'd just beat me, right? Or throw things at me or throw me out of the house or shove tables into my ribs and crack my ribs and stuff like this. You know, she was horrible to me, you know, while I was growing up. And then here I am sitting there at the age of 29 years old, and she's on her way out. Actually, I wasn't 29. I was 30 years old. And here she is, you know, I was just a horrible mother. You know, but that wasn't her apologizing. That wasn't her apology. She wanted us to tell her that she was not a horrible mother. So we did. We told her the right things. We were not mean to our mother. We loved our mother. Me and my older sister was there, the oldest one in the family. I'm the youngest. She was the oldest. 18 years apart, and then there's all the siblings in between, which most of them were dead. And then there was my other sister who was 5 years older than me who really, today, I mean, I just will have nothing to do with her. And we were there, and we said the right things to her. We said the right things to her, which was right. We told her we loved her, and all the siblings, all of her children loved her, which I kept telling my mother repeatedly anyway, throughout our life, you know, because I wanted to do the right thing, and not be her. I was really trying hard not to be my mother, right? So I said the right things to my mother, and you know, she died, but she didn't care. No, she never cared that she cracked my skull and beat the crap out of me and caused me a lot of problems physically, emotionally, psychologically. That's not the only beating I took from her. That's just one that I'm bringing out here this morning because I just sit there and I think about it. She did not care. She didn't lose any sleep over the fact that she hurt me. So here I am at the age of 41 and a half, all of this anger, all of this rage from all the abuse, you know, all of it. Her allowing my brother to rape me, knowing about it, you know, abusing me, you know, the psychological abuse, verbal abuse, the whole thing. It was just way too much. It was just ridiculous. And I'm thinking, you know, just not even just her, but my dad, like my brother, my other siblings, just horrific. And I thought, yeah, they're not losing any sleep over this. They don't care. They wouldn't care if I died, if I killed myself. They'd just be like, oh, well, she's just a loser anyway, like her other brothers. You know, this is how my family was. We weren't really a family. It was just this mess of people living together who were all biologically related, who hated each other, right? Absolutely horrific. And, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, why am I doing this? I can't let them win. I have to win. There's no way I'm going to be destroyed by this and have them win this situation. There's no way. I'm going to win because I'm going to stay alive, and I'm going to get help, and I'm going to allow myself to heal. And I'm going to get help and learn how to heal because I had no idea how to do this. So I was at 41 and a half years old, had been wanting to kill myself my whole life, and really was having a lot of problems dealing with my past. And, you know, I thought, no, no, they didn't care, you know. I fumed and fretted and was so controlled by what they did to me as a child and as a teen, really, because they hurt me my whole life. And, you know, they were still controlling me. And I was like, you got to be kidding. I got so angry. I said, no. And I made a deal with God, because I didn't really know God, and I was mad at him anyway. And I had cursed him in the backyard. Really didn't, you know, I didn't expect that he'd be listening to me. But I figured, you know what, I'm going to make a deal with him anyway. And I said, you know, I'm never going to ever contemplate suicide again. No, I'm going to win. I'm going to stay alive, and I'm going to get help, and I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to get some help. I did not deserve that. No child does. And I could picture myself at these points of these beatings, these horrific beatings, and this horrible treatment that I suffered at both my parents' hands and my brother, the CSA child sexual abuse. And what they did to me and what they did to my body, what they did to my mind, what they did to my heart was horrific. And they lost no sleep over it. They didn't have any problems with it. It was just fine what they did to me. And for me to then hurt myself or kill myself or do anything to jeopardize my peace of mind and my sanity here on the earth, I thought, why am I doing that? That allows them to win. And so this article is very, very important, I think. You know, you can look at it in one light very superficially, or you can get down to the bottom of it to deal with the actual abuse. This is, we're not talking about getting angry about, oh, a car cut me off in traffic. This is a website about abuse, right? So they're kind of handling it superficially, right? When you allow someone else's behavior to make you angry, you're indeed the victim. You know, I understand that's where I'm at, but they're just saying, you know, you fume and fret and relive the event for days or months afterwards while trying to enjoy yourself with friends or family. Well, isn't that the truth? But we're not talking about somebody cutting you off in traffic or getting something in the mail that you did, like some bill that you can't pay, or some neighbor doing something to you that made you angry. We're talking about people who have been abused horrifically in their lifetime. And this stuff is just so incredibly horrible. So they're kind of just handling it superficially here. But the thing is when you look at that, that's very true. You know, I relive the events of my past every day, that abuse. That's PTSD. You know, it's these things never go away. I can't just pretend they didn't happen. That's what got me into a lot of trouble, was pretending that none of this stuff happened. And that way I could just push it down, shove it down, you know. That got me into a lot of trouble because I couldn't, you know, at some point it was going to blow, and indeed it did, right? I mean, I should have got help years ago, instead of waiting till 41 and a half. You know, that's why I keep doing these shows, because I'm just trying to be a bit of it also. It's not just for me, but also to be a bit of an encouragement for people out there to say, look, you know, do not be destroyed by your past. Do not let those buggers win, whoever the abuser was. This is incredibly wrong. What happened to us? You know, we never should have been abused. This just should have never happened. It's not okay what happened to you. It's not okay what happened to me. Abuse is not okay. And I can't justify it by saying, oh, the abuser didn't know what they were doing. They did know what they were doing. They didn't lose any sleep over it, I tell you that. Not my abusers. They did not mind what they did to me. You know, and I think back about it, and it's horrific. It's horrific. And they had me around their little thumb because it was my family. So my mother, she knew that I would be back for more because she knew that I loved her. And so she played me. She played me in every area of my life, you know, and hurt me incredibly bad. And so did all of my siblings and my dad, you know. And this stuff, this is, you know, we can't let them win. So in other words, then, we have to learn how to deal with our anger. We have to learn how to deal with our rage. We have to learn how to handle these things properly and cope, you know, and do the self-care and do the stuff that we need to work on and to maintain, right? Coping mechanisms and things like this. Very important, so that we don't become our abusers or become destroyed by what they did. That's incredibly wrong. So, you know, we have about a minute left here. We'll pick up Friday. We'll just pick up from where we are, move on. That's an interesting article. I hope you'll check it out from Havoka. And Havoka.org, help for adult victims of child abuse. So, yeah, I wish you a good week, everybody. You take it easy. You take care. I mean, whatever it is you need to do. If you need a crisis line, you call a crisis line. You make sure you call somebody. You get some help. You do not struggle on your own. I went anonymous help because that's what I trust. I don't trust people, really, and I don't trust individuals. I like anonymous, and I like more than what, like, I believe in safety in numbers. So, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, you just make sure that you get some help, right? Do not struggle on your own. Do not be destroyed by this. This is not okay. You deserve better. So do I. Have a good week, everybody. Talk to you soon.